Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You want to know exactly what I see? And that's trash. You got to be better. Simple as that. Like, you got to be more efficient here. You got to get out of this break. You got to stack your DB. You got to give Josh more room to throw the ball. You got to catch that. You got to make that block. You got to get that extra effort on the touchdown block. If Jimbo break it, he up the sideline. Just different things like that. Calling out everything that you're doing wrong to make it right.
Keon Coleman yesterday at mandatory minicamp.
Ooh, how do you feel about Bryson's fit today?
That's Bryson?
That's Bryson. It is bright. Bryson.
Yes, it's different.
He is wearing the brightest red I've ever seen on the golf course. This is not like Tiger Sunday red, I don't think.
No, that's right.
This is like a neon red.
It's a hot red. A little hotter than Tiger's red.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess Bryson doesn't often wear red. Now his shoes make more sense. His shoes have red in them.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. We'll keep you updated on the U.S. Open. We've already seen a guy chunk it out of the bunker into the rough. We've seen a guy miss two fairways over. But, you know, it's Oakmont. So the guys are going to be struggling. We expect that. We'll give you updates on that. Keon Coleman. So big topic this entire offseason, right, Coleman?
He's the player... Well, him and Kincaid are the two players I wonder the most about.
Yeah.
About what they'll be this season. Yeah. Coleman, though, I don't know, like, am I too pessimistic on him? I'm just not as open to him being, like, a significant impact, you know, top-end wide receiver the same way. I still want to be a little open to Kincaid could be that at tight end. Like, Coleman, maybe he's going to, you know, he talks there about efficiency in his routes, right? And the blocking stuff down the field, sure, like that's stuff that's going to get you on the field 70, 80% of the snaps year to year to year. But my questions about him aren't about that. It's about, can you get open? Right. Are you going to be able to get open on a regular basis? Because he did not do that last year. And if he's going to be a guy that wins with the contested catch, then I'm going to need him to win more than 3 out of every 10 of those, because I can't have him ranking 120th in contested catch percentage and have it be, you know, considered, oh, his specialty, when there's 100 guys in the league that are more, that are going to do it better than you do. So I don't know. There were some drop problems last year. I think there's a good athletic profile, even though there's not the straight ahead speed. So I guess I'm a little pessimistic on the idea that he's ever going to be like a great receiver.
Well, that's probably at the root of it. I mean, if you want him to be a great receiver, you might end up being disappointed. If you want him to be a difference maker for the Bills,
right? That's different. Yeah,
that's probably a good spot. You know, there was Matt Parrino had a piece earlier this week. We talked with Matt on Monday, And he had a piece earlier this week talking about Coleman and Joe Brady. Separation is going to be the buzzword on Coleman because he does not really separate. And I do believe that it's very true. There are more ways to win than just separation. Guys that separate are often great. Some guys separate but don't catch the ball. Some guys only separate down the field. Separation is also going to be, to a degree, it's going to be a function of where you play, what kind of routes you run, all that kind of stuff. So Coleman, you know, he's not a separator. He probably wasn't drafted to be a separator. To me, his success is measured by what the Bills thought they were getting. And, you know, you could drive yourself crazy with this if you want to. Do you want to compare him to Xavier Worthy? He's a very different player. Do you want to compare him to Ladd McConkey? He's a very different player. And if you wanted to say, you know, I wish the Bills drafted Ladd McConkey because you want the Ladd McConkey type, then you could have that.
Yeah.
But it's not like the Bills didn't know this is a very different player than Ladd McConkey. This is the type of player that they wanted was, listen, in that clip we just played, Coleman's not only talking about efficiency and routes, he's talking about blocking. And finishing a block so that James Cook can be sprung free for a touchdown. So, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, you want to say refreshing or it's nice or whatever. He's really hard on himself there with a self-assessment about all the things he needs to get better at. Like, you know, you want to know what I need to do? Everything. And listening to Coleman on that, I thought about anybody that does anything in your life. Like, what's your hobby? What's your job even? And go back and, if you could, take a look at your first day. How are you on your first day? How are you on your 10th day? And then how are you at your job in year 10? You know, you're in sales. You're a teacher. You're doing this. I mean, if we pull up clips of the first time I ever did an update or something, you know, like, look at this guy. He has no idea what he's doing. He'll never make it. But, you know, you work at your craft. And for Coleman, there might have been a belief when he came in that, all right, football's football, I can play some football. And you get to the NFL, and he has some early success, and then he gets hurt. And when he gets hurt, that's when the Bills were disappointed, is how he came back from that.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a key point in this. They were not disappointed with him early on. It was he got hurt and he came back, and that's something he had never really dealt with before. And maybe he just wasn't quite ready, quite aware of all that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of keeping things, I mean, I've done this since they drafted Coleman, who was not my favorite prospect, but there's definitely reason to think he can be very successful with Josh, like a lot of receivers can be successful with Josh. So, you know, can he be their breakout star this year? I want to say yeah. I think he can be. What does that mean? Does that mean, what do I need Coleman to be? You know what I need Coleman to be? I need Coleman to be on 4th and 5, they call the play for him in Kansas City. That's what I really want out of this offense.
Uh-huh.
Do I need the best receiver in football? No. But I want someone, and the ball goes to Kincaid there on a prayer. The design play is for Shakir out of the backfield, which is precision-based.
And if it wasn't Shakir, like if in a different world, the protection holds up in that spot. Allen, if I'm thinking back to the play, right, there would have been two options. He would have had Shakir out of the backfield, or Kincaid was breaking open.
Wide open.
Like, his route was breaking wide open. Maybe he would have even scored.
Right, the Chiefs busted on the coverage there. Like, somebody was in the wrong spot. It's sold as, like, this all-out blitz. I don't think they intended to leave Kincaid that open, but maybe.
No, it wasn't at all, but it was all out from one side.
Right.
The other side kind of dropped back.
So for me, Coleman, like, hey, get to be the guy that, hey, it's 4th and 5. Where's this ball going? Like, we feel comfortable going to the guy that is, you know, our low post warrior. If you can win like that, that's good by me.
What does that play look like, though, in your mind? Because when I think of a 4th and 5 play where I got to make sure I get 6-7 yards, I'm thinking of a guy that's winning on the inside, don't I? Like, I'm thinking of what Diggs used to be for the Bills, which was just one-on-one, and pitch. I'm gonna jab step you left, and then I'm gonna cut inside, and I got you.
Right. For Diggs, it was often Diggs and Allen ran a lot of hitches, and like that was like their go-to.
But then there's the Beasley plays over the years that always felt like they worked on those spots. And Coleman, like I heard a good debate actually on the Check the Mic podcast with Steve Palazzolo and Sam Monson. And we've had Sam on, and he's said the same thing to us all, like throughout the entire offseason, is Sam always mentions how he is bewildered by how the Bills do not believe that they need an X wide receiver, a big guy on the line of scrimmage, an X wide receiver.
Yeah, they kind of just don't even have the role.
Right. But to him and Steve got into this on their podcast because he brought that up. Like, the only thing they're missing and the only thing that's weird to me is they're treating their roster like, hey, we don't need an X wide receiver. And what Steve came back at him was, that's not what they're thinking. They don't think they don't need an X wide receiver. They just think Keon Coleman is an X wide receiver and you don't. And there's a lot of that out there, right? That he'd be better as a power slot and that he has never shown the ability to be a good player at that position. He didn't even really do it in college a lot. So that to me might be the debate on Coleman is he going to be able to do the things he did in college but do it from a position that a lot of people didn't think he would play in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Or a different type of wide receiver role than people thought he might play in the NFL. Because that X receiver, I don't know, that's not usually the guy that you're going to on fourth and five.
No, that's
the
right.
Guy that's either in the slot or the other outside guy that's off the line of scrimmage.
I think that conversation between Steve and Sam there, Brett Coleman of Underdog Fantasy, he does the Film Room, the Bootleg Podcast, he does great work too. He's pointed this out. And I think, you know, you say one of them says, well, the Bills think he's an X. It might not even really be that so much as this is something that Joe Brady gets to a lot whenever he talks about the offense. I think that Brady and the Bills have less rigidity than people out there thinking about the types of receivers. They play more condensed formations, so that receiver that's on the outside doesn't necessarily have to be as far out on the boundary.
Yeah,
it's a tougher job on the outside. I think everybody kind of knows that. For Coleman, when I say going on fourth and five, you say, well, maybe that's the guy on the inside. I mean, he can win on the inside. He took, I think,
he
took 11% of his snaps on the inside.
Right, that's the thing. He never played there.
That's right, but maybe if he never gets hurt, maybe if the regular organic way that the season goes plays out, he gets a little bit more there. And, you know, if we're looking at the way that their roster is built, Josh Palmer is more equipped on the outside and Elijah Moore. Like, around Coleman, they have better options. And maybe he finds his way to getting some snaps in those spots. When I say I want him to be not necessarily the go-to on that fourth and five, but someone, he's not on the field on that fourth and five.
Right.
Right? He's not on the field? He's on and off. He didn't play a lot in that game. He gets out-snapped by a lot of the other receivers. Like, if they want him to, I guess we check if he's on the field. I want him to be a reasonable option. Because Shakir elevated his game to a spot where they get him manufactured touches. They engineer their offense to get the ball to Shakir because they know good things can happen. And Coleman, earlier in the season, had really good things happen, yards after catch. I wonder if year two, what he has to show them between now and opening night against Baltimore, what he has to show them is, I am worthy of you engineering the offense a little bit to me as well.
Right. He's not on the field.
Okay. Not on the field on fourth and five.
The formation, before there's motion, the Bills have four receivers on the left and one receiver on the right. The receiver on the right is Ty Johnson. And then the four receivers on the left, going from inside to outside, are Kincaid, Matt Collins, Amari Cooper, Khalil Shakir. And then Shakir comes in motion. So when they snap it, there's like three guys all packed together. To your point, there's nobody really truly on the outside. Like, they're all they're all packed together.
Yep.
And it's Kincaid, it's Hollins, and it's Cooper.
The guy on the right that's on the end of the formation, the most outside, is basically in a slot alignment kind of.
Right. And like then when they take the snap, there's just three guys all together. There's nobody outside the numbers.
By the way,
close to it.
Again, we'll probably continue to have this debate, and the Bills can win the Super Bowl because Josh Allen is amazing. But it's fourth and five, and the guys you just listed is on the field.
Two aren't on the team anymore.
Two aren't on the team. One's a running back.
And one they definitely chose to not have on the team anymore, Cooper. Right, the other's a running
Cooper
back.
Cooper doesn't have a job. Hollins is not on the team.
Coleman's not out there.
So the next step for him is obviously to be in the trusted five, a receiver that's on the field. You know, you could say the Bills receivers didn't lose them the game, but there's a play where I don't know. I don't think it's really even that controversial to say someone better can win you the game. Josh made his part of the deal, did he not? He made a superhero play.
He made a superhero
by
play.
By running backwards, getting away, and putting it where he needed to put it. And there's, you know,
you could argue there's no one else in the league that would have got that ball off, let alone got that ball to one of your teammates' hands.
Right. And if that's, I don't know, put it this way, Joe. If that's Coleman standing where Kincaid is standing on that play, he might not make that catch.
He might not. He dropped a lot of passes that looked like that last year.
That's the step.
You'd like him to become a player, though, that in that spot, he's catching that every time.
Yes. Or in that spot, Allen is, you know, looking for it, whatever. A lot of ways to say it. We'll get some calls in here. Dennis in Lockport. Hey, Dennis, good morning.
Hey, guys. Great conversation. You guys are trying, you know, talk about where Coleman could be. You know, I watched him play in college, and he reminds me of Mac Collins. And a lot of him is a lot of how Mac is. Because he'll do the other things on the field as a wide receiver some other receivers won't do, the blocking and all that. And I think, you know, you're wondering where maybe he could fit in. Is that role that Mac kind of filled in? And, I mean, how many touchdowns did Mac get last year? And he might not have been the breakout guy, but he was a go-to guy when you needed him in the right spot, and he did some of the right things down the field. And I'll wait for your guys' response to that.
I think, though, I think he's going to play that role this year. Like, all the things they asked Matt Collins to do last year for the Bills, I think Coleman, not that Coleman was already doing a lot of it. Like, Coleman was playing last year. He led them in snaps in a ton of games. But I don't know, like, doing the dirty stuff. Isn't that kind of what Hollins did last year? Doing the dirty work? Yeah. Who else on the roster really looks like a player with the body type that you would think could do that? So, the comparison, though, when I hear it, is I want him to be better than that. That's a limited player that, you know, maybe there are some similarities, but I would want to shoot higher than that for Coleman. I'd want to shoot higher than, you know, the guy he replaced. If he's their new X receiver, well, that used to be Gabe Davis. I want him to be better than Gabe Davis was.
Yeah.
And Gabe Davis was a guy who would have, you know, he had 800 yards and 7 touchdowns every year he played. And I think I want more than that from him, too. But my question is, is this the right environment for him? Because how correct are the people that think, no, he's a power slot. He's going to be better as a power slot. I don't know if he could play the X. And, you know, like, I know Joe Brady talks about positional versatility and they don't really put guys in boxes, but the snaps, we see where guys play. Like, we have where you put guys at the end of the day. And he played 633 snaps on the outside and 75 in the slot. Like, they used him as one type of receiver last year. And even when he got the question and he made that answer in OTAs about how, well, we don't really think of guys as outside or inside or whatever, even after he said that, the way he talked about the idea of Coleman playing in the slot was he started talking about Khalil Shakir. So, well, we already have a dynamic guy in the middle there. And, you know, like, we want to move Shakir to the outside.
Which, that's...
Like, even when it's, well, Coleman could be in the slot sometimes, it's almost, it's because we're trying to move Shakir around. Not because we think Coleman is this, you know, Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp.
And that gets to, like, the idea of Coleman in the slot. What would be the best for Keon Coleman to be the most productive receiver he could possibly be? That might be to be a power slot. But what's the best for the Buffalo Bills? Like, Joe Brady, right. And this kind of gets to the point about, you know, it is in fantasy football. Joe Brady's job is not to just pump.
Get the most out of Keon Coleman.
Right. His job is to get the most out of his offense.
Right.
You know, those two things often go hand in hand. But I would understand any sort of, like, you make a line between the two. Sure, if I wanted to get Keon Coleman to 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns, I'd put him here. But that's actually not my job. My job is to get the most out of the offense. Dan Graziano has a question about this. He posted at ESPN. Like, one burning question for every team. And the way he asked it, it's not really a Coleman question, but it is a Bills kind of question. And what he asked is, without even really taking aim at the receivers, he said, does Josh Allen need to repeat as MVP for the Bills to get to the Super Bowl?
Well,
does he have to be the MVP in order for the Bills to be as good as they were? It is ironic that we've watched the Bills try to build a team where it's man, he can't go out there and be Superman. And then he won MVP while being right in that offense. Sometimes MVP is about narrative. I get all that. And this question,
more to it. Yeah.
Right. This question would be staged as well. That depends. He's going to get MVP in part based on what the other great quarterbacks do. Right. If Jaden Daniels throws 62 touchdowns, he's going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
But conceptually, does Josh have to be the MVP for them to get to the Super Bowl? And what he says, he writes, it's inescapable. The Bills' only first round offensive player they've drafted since taking Allen in 2018 is Dalton Kincaid.
Mm-hmm.
Now Coleman's one pick outside, but he's not a first rounder. Like, you can't, you know, 2018, one offensive first rounder. That's Dan Graziano, ESPN. So anyway,
he also, I think, has no shot of winning MVP this year.
No,
they're not giving it to him.
I think he has a shot.
They are not giving him MVP until he beats the Chiefs. That's my proclamation.
They
will not give him another one until he. That's why Lamar Jackson didn't win last year. Well, not the only reason
they vote, but before that, you're saying that people just won't vote for him. Until
but they vote before that, but they're going to want the. We're not giving you. Yeah, like I don't think the voters, though, like reading into how they operate in that way. Like it's about story, it's about narratives, it's about more than just what you did that season. And you know, like part of why they don't give it to Lamar last year is, well, he won it the year before, and he has these playoff failures.
I would agree that getting it back-to-back, you probably have to be even better the second year.
That's, yes.
I would agree with that.
He couldn't do what he just did and win it again.
I think
he'd have to throw for like 5,000 yards to win it this year.
I think
he'd have to light the lamp.
One seed would do it. Mahomes got the one seed last year and didn't come close because he had a down year. The season he just had in the one seed, he goes back to back. Of course, Jaden Daniels, who knows?
People thought one reason Jackson didn't win last year is we're not giving you more than Mahomes has.
Yeah, I mean, those things do play on voters' minds. I wouldn't dispute that at all.
Right.
Sal on the other side, if you're on hold, we'll get to your calls as well. 803-0550. Sal recapping mandatory minicamp. We'll talk with, we've got an Edmonton guest coming up at 9 o'clock ahead of game 4 of the Stanley Cup final. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Can't see the green. Back into that.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Son, boy, what a start this is.
Yeah.
Look out for the hole.
Chance. Oh, come on.
Eagle on one for Moldovan. Oberg just birdied. These low numbers. I was told it was going to be tough. I'm already mad. No, Oberg birdied on his first. Rory tees off in 4 minutes. Bryson's out there. U.S. Open is underway. Father's Day weekend upon us. The U.S. Open and Father's Day. A great, great sports tradition. Sal Cabaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline to wrap Bill, well, whatever, chat about, I should say, with us on Bill's mandatory minicamp. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. We're watching this golf, you know. It looks beautiful course, sunny out there. Looks like the guys teeing off on the first hole can't see their tee shots because they're shooting directly into the sun. But, yeah, U.S. Open week is upon us, and it's a great day.
There is a course I play in Florida when I go down there. I used to live. And literally, like, the first hole is directly into the sun right around when we would play a lot in May when I go down there especially. And I mean, like, you can't see the ball when you hit it. And you're always like, I think it was good. I'm not really sure. You know what I mean? But it's right there into the sun.
Yeah. Well, we'll be watching and keeping people updated. Sal, mandatory minicamp. We got some good stuff yesterday. I mean, first, an injury scare for Max Airston.
Yeah, and we don't know how much of a scare it is. It could be something. It could be nothing. You know, he, at the end of practice, Max Harrison kind of took himself out of a team drill, like, you know, just walked over to trainers and did not take a rep, and they were talking, and they were looking at what appeared to be maybe the left lower, like, knee area, the lower legs in that area, the mid-range part. And head athletic trainer Nate Bresky and him were talking, and Nate was kind of pointing to something down there and looking, and he was walking, and he never, like, was being helped anywhere. You know, he was walking on his own power, which is good news, but he was explaining something as they walked together, right? When that happened, the horn blew to end practice. It was a scheduled horn blow. It wasn't like, okay, Max Harrison's hurt, we're going to end practice, right?
Right?
It was the timing of it. It was literally right at 2:30, I would say, because that's when they ended. And he and they talked for a little while as everybody started coming in, and they came in a little bit after them, but together, and walked in together. So what does that mean? We'll find out today as far as if he's out there or not. A lot of times, now I would say this, we could get out there today, they practice at 11, you might not have Max Harrison practicing today. That doesn't mean anything significantly wrong with him. Anybody who's having any issue at all, they're being super precautious with this week, as you guys know. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of guys who aren't out there on the field practicing who are dealing with something, but Sean McDermott said none of them have any concerns as far as he is concerned with missing any training camp time. That just tells you, hey, something's going on. We don't want to re-aggravate or injure anything. We want everybody ready for camp. So it's possible we don't see Max Harrison today. I think we're going to hear maybe from Brandon Bean after practice. So either way, that'd be a good chance to ask him a little bit about that. But we'll see where this goes, I guess. And, you know, we're going to be waiting on that.
So if Bean's speaking, we would think that if it is something severe or something serious, that we would probably learn about it today.
I would think so, Joe. Like, if he practices, there's no concern, all,
yeah, right?
I mean, like, okay, whatever. If he doesn't practice, I'm sure it's one of the first things we're going to ask Brandon Bean, and then we'll see what he says about it.
Okay. In terms of how he's looked, how has he looked to you in these couple of days?
So the athletic traits are definitely there. There's no doubt. I'm going to go back, though, when you say couple days, I'm going to go back to everything I've seen from OTAs, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
OTAs, we're out there for a day each week. There are times where you see the athletic traits, and then he just gets beat. Now, there's times where he gets beat because he got beat. There's times where he gets beat because he's in great position, and someone just makes a catch. And I made a joke yesterday, Tyrell Shavers. It's happened to him twice against Tyrell Shavers, once a couple weeks ago, once yesterday, where he's in perfect coverage. But Tyrell Shavers catches the ball, and I'm like, Tyrell Shavers is long, right? And like, he's an NFL wide receiver. And I think it's the growing pains of a young guy of, okay, I'm in perfect position. What do I got to do to get this ball? What do I got to do to knock the ball away? That doesn't mean he's always getting beat. He makes plays, too. He's in good spots. It is such an advantage. It's tough to talk about this by giving context to listeners when I tell you it's such an advantage to the offense this time of year, right? There's no pads. Nobody's hitting anybody. Guys can make catches kind of knowing they're not going to get hit as they make the catch. Guys who are defending aren't going to be super incredible to be physical because you're not taking you to the ground. Yeah, they can put your hands on you, whatever. So I would say that for me, when I watch DBs this time of year, what I'm looking for is positioning. I'm like, are you in position to make the play? Because once the pads come on, maybe that play gets made, maybe it doesn't. And I think that he's in position sometimes where I okay, that's really good. And then maybe the play isn't made. Or maybe it is. That's fine. And there have been also a couple times where I've seen, right, here's a couple things I do notice. Like, when he's done with the rep, a lot of times he comes off, and there's a coach always with him. There's a coach always in his ear talking to him about everything that just happened, which is great. He's a young player. He's also, he's not the only one, he also has a football with him at all times on the sidelines. I noticed yesterday, Max Harrison is always carrying a football with him on the sidelines. He's not the only one, but a couple of the DBs, but it is funny. A couple of the younger guys are like that.
If he's going to be, like, that was a talking point, right, about him coming in is, like, he might struggle with bigger receivers. Tre'Davious White is listed 2 inches shorter than he is. And I know they've been speaking about his leadership in that room cell. And for him, like, I don't remember that even as a rookie for Trey White. Like, he is a shorter corner, and, like, I don't know, he's made a pretty good career not getting bodied by bigger receivers as often as you would think of a guy who's not really that tall.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, who was the guy who got... Man, you got Jeremy. Who is the guy? Maybe Joe, you know, too. Who would get beat a lot by the taller receivers and we couldn't, like oh, well, I mean, that happened to Levi Wallace, and he was actually a little taller, wasn't he? Levi Wallace seemed like he was a little bit taller from what I remember, right? I think a lot of times it's kind of understanding leverage, understanding angles. But there was a guy in the mid-2000s that would, like, every time.
I mean, Terrence McGee was a smaller corner.
I'm thinking of maybe you're thinking of someone different, but I always remember McKelvin.
Yes, it was Leotis McKelvin. I think you're right. I kept thinking of it.
He would always be in position, and it would always be a catch.
Yeah.
Yes, that was it. Leotis McKelvin, exactly. I think Leotis McKelvin, like, always seemed like he was right there and couldn't make the play. But for him, the issue was, for me, I always noticed, from what I remember, he just didn't turn around enough. He didn't see the ball enough. He didn't get to the ball until late. That's not what I see with Max Harrison.
Yeah.
I think Max Harrison just has to understand leverage against bigger guys. That's all. Okay. I'm not concerned about it as I watch him. You know, I don't want to paint that picture. What I want to say is he's learning how to deal with guys that are bigger and faster and stronger than most guys he dealt with in college. That's all. And I think that's just got to come with reps. And I like yesterday, the one I remember from Tyrell Shavers, I'm telling you guys, like, he's in perfect position across the middle. He swipes his arm, and I think everybody in the defense thought he knocked it out. And then here comes Shavers with the ball, and everybody's like, oh, like, how did he get checked that ball? Maybe that happens against any DB, right? But, I mean, that's just the kind of thing where, okay, now you understand. Those are the little tiny margins that make a difference, I think, at this level compared to the college level.
Sal, speaking of the bigger-bodied receivers, a week ago at camp, at mini camp or OTAs, it was about Keon Coleman and how he looked. And yesterday, he spoke a lot about what he needs to do. So kind of maybe a look into the preparation and mentally how he's approaching this season. Coleman had a lot to say yesterday.
You know, he talked about, he was very self-aware yesterday. He's very self-critical yesterday, right? Like, he said, you really want to know what I thought? I thought it looked like blank, right? What he said. When we could play the match game and, you know, do that. But anyway, or whatever you want to call it. You know, we used to play with Shope. And, you know, he was very critical of himself and how he wants to really be very cognizant of his approach, his routes, his everything, his body, everything that goes into it. Being a professional, for sure. You know, I think... there's no doubt that Keon Coleman heard the noise, right, from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. But I'm going to tell everybody, like, nothing that they said to us, they didn't say to him, right? Like, it's not like Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean came out at the end of the year, told the media what they want from Keon Coleman, didn't see from Keon Coleman, and just wanted to make sure Keon Coleman heard it that way. They told him, like, hey, this is what exit interviews are about. Hey, you're a young player. This is what we need from you. This is what didn't happen. This is what did happen. This is what we need from you going forward. And I think, you know, to Keon Coleman's credit yesterday, he sounded like he was very kind of self-aware, self-critical, understanding, didn't push back. And yeah, I think that he understands what he needs to do to take that next step in year two.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to watch. And you know, are you watching Coleman and Benford go head to head here? Like when you're mentioning Shavers and Hairston, what are we seeing from Coleman in man coverage? Because a lot of this, when it comes to these drills, is going to be man on man, right? And that's not always been Coleman's strength. So while practice is practice, you're probably getting a really good look and a really good opportunity for him to work specifically on that part of his game.
Yeah. Now, in these settings, they can't do one-on-one. We haven't seen that. I don't think they're allowed to do one-on-one wide receiver DB. And if they have, we haven't seen any drills like that. You know how sometimes they just line up and you see it? And we, you know, at camp, right, guys? Mm-hmm. You love watching those one-on-ones. We haven't seen that specifically, each guy against each other. I would say there have been times where I think Keon Coleman, he looks like he's run a really good route, and then maybe just think, and yet he's caught the ball. And there's been a couple of times where I think he's got to do a better job of making sure he secures the ball. Yesterday was one of them where, and I'll give credit. This is one of those deals where do you put it on Keon or do you put it on Dane Jackson? Like, he runs a route, he's over the middle. Dane Jackson makes a nice break on the ball. As Keon has it in his hands and he's securing it, Dane knocks it right out of his hands, swipes it down. It's a good veteran play by a DB. If you're Keon Coleman, you got to grab that thing. You got to put it and tuck it away, right? I mean, like, those are, again, the little things. These are younger players. This is why battles are great. And you can have two different perspectives. And you can have someone listen to me or somebody who's there watching, another media member even observing, going, man, that's a great play by Dane Jackson. You can have another person say, man, Keon's got to do a better job of holding on to that ball, right? Like, it's competing. It's what it is. And I think, you know, those are the things, again, that he's going to have to learn. But I like his route running. I like his, I'll call it intentionality, Jeremy. I think that's what I see from him. Like, when I watch him run early on in practice, he's with Adam Henry and the rest of the wide receivers. Like, it's not that you didn't see this last year necessarily, but knowing everything has been said about him, knowing what we know about him and where they want him to go, like, I'm watching a little bit of his intentionality, and it feels like he's definitely trying to do certain things out there that these practices are for.
So Capaccio on the Western Hotline, you can read his recap of yesterday at Mandatory Minicamp at WGR550.com. Sal, any final thoughts just to wrap? We got to get going, but if there's something we missed?
Real quickly, Josh Allen was very hot yesterday early on. I didn't see a ball hit the ground in 7-on-7 after throwing a few picks the day before. Defense then started to stem a little bit the other way, and the highlight was a Tre'Davious White pick 6. It really came, though, off a Khalil Shakir slip. Then he kind of reached up to try to grab the ball because he slipped, you know what I mean? And then he knocked it up in the air. There's Trey White, goes back the other way for a pick 6. So kind of a good back and forth right there yesterday.
All right, very good. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio, we'll get a break in. Larry, if you can stick with us, we'll get to your phone call, 803-0550. If you want to jump on, talk a little bit about Keon Coleman today and you know, the expectation for him, what the Bills really need out of him. So if you want to pop on about that, we're happy to chat with you. Give you updates on the Open. Bryson just missed the putt badly. I mean, bad.
Ooh.
He flew it by about as far away as he was. 15-foot putt. He put 11 feet by.
He's already talking to the green or to himself.
It was a rough one. What we're seeing, they're going to spend a lot of time at this tournament watching balls roll out as the blimp camera, the tower camera, zooms out, and the ball's still rolling. When we get back from break, we'll see this ball stop rolling. I mean, it's... Yeah, you can kind of start to see it already. All right, Moldovan in the lead because he holed out on number one. Jeremy and Joe Oberg starting hot as well. If you got him, he just hit another one close. We'll get some more phone calls and keep hanging out here on a Thursday, beautiful Thursday here on WGR.
The stat of the day.
All right, stat of the day. It's a good one. Perfect for, well, today. Stat of the day, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. This one came courtesy of... This is not a pause for drama. Claire Rogers, golf.com.
Mm-hmm.
Oakmont Feck.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From 1,385 players have teed it up at Oakmont for a U.S. Open.
Okay.
1,385 players. How many have finished under par?
Ooh.
Out of 1,385.
I'm going to guess 450.
450 is Joe's guess. Josh Owen, you want to stab at it?
I swear, if one of you two say 451, it's going down.
What was the total number?
1,385 players have teed it up for a U.S. Open at Oakmont.
I'll go 225.
225 is his guess.
I'm going to go 386.
You're all high. Go lower.
Oh. Higher than 225?
Lower. You're lower. You're all too high. Go lower.
120.
Lower.
77.
Lower.
45.
No way.
Lower.
Wow.
20.
28.
28 out of
1,385. 28 have finished under par.
That is crazy.
28 out of 1,385 under par at Oakmont. Who would want to be a member at this course? How'd you shoot today? Terrible. Oh, there's always tomorrow. Yeah, great. All right. Probably pretty nice.
Right. You're like a 13 handicap and you just shoot 110 every day.
Every day.
Like, oh, this is fun.
2.02%.
Yeah, 2%. 2% of golfers at the U.S. Open at Oakmont finish under par. It used to have a bunch of trees. Like, look at these old videos. They took all the trees out.
It's
a different course.
Our guy, Jeff Metis at Golf Dojo, was telling me yesterday about, he was giving me swing lessons. He played Oakmont, but he's like, yeah, there are trees everywhere.
Yeah, it's a different
course. I'm like, what do you mean? There's no trees. He's like, no. They cut them all down. I don't know when they did, but
In sight between holes. There used to be tree lined.
Right.
803-0550. All right, back on Keon Coleman. We've got Larry who's got a Bills trade idea. I've got to tell you why Rasmus Dahlin was trending.
Yep.
Do you know why?
I think so.
Okay. Dahlin trending. I mean, come on. I'm a Sabres
I'm pretty sure.
I'm immediately clicking like, oh, God, where's he going?
Should I go look? Was there like a trade thing that I didn't see? Or someone saying something? I don't know.
We'll get to it. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.